The first question I have was, you've been involved in political activism and human rights causes pretty much as long as I remember. So what is it about the current mass displacement and refugee crisis that really lights the fire in your belly and really...
The fact that children and their mothers and their fathers, children of all ages, babies, toddlers, 18 and under, which is a child, have been forced through horrible violence and through persecution and war to leave their homes, leave everything they knew, their life, because the life has ended. That's the big thing.
Yes, in that sense, it's also what was very heartwarming for me to see a personal story for yourself coming to terms with your own trauma of internal displacement that happened with you, and you didn't realize it at the time.
No, I didn't
realize it. So how does that impact a person growing up and realizing and connecting with these stories?
I'm really glad you asked that, because I can give you one very specific reply. I'd had nightmares for many, many years, seeing fire breaking out on the horizon and trying to tell people, look out, there's a fire started, we've got to do something, and the people not paying any attention, and the fire getting closer and closer, and by which you see the sky filling more with red and smoke and red and smoke, and nobody listening. That was my nightmare. And it wasn't until I went to Sarajevo during the siege with the United Nations Children's Fund that I realized that those nightmares were part of what they call PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. I've said the initials the wrong way around, which is the modern scientific word for shock, deep, deep shock, which is, of course, what all refugees and asylum seekers go through.
One of the most interesting aspects of the film for me was that comparison between, and the disconnect really, between the bureaucratic government approach historically about refugees and the public opinion, which has been very welcoming and very warm.
Yes, well, I'm afraid the media, with some honourable exceptions, and not, of course, everybody who works in the media have been hugely responsible for the demonising of refugees, paying no regard to truth whatsoever. That's a frightening element of our times, and it's pervasive throughout Europe. I can't speak about that aspect of Australian life, but I can speak about the media in Britain and in Europe, that's for sure, as well as the United States, where most people don't get access to any real information at all. What stands out loud and clear, the organisations that were built up since defeat of fascism in 1945, of Japanese, German and Italian fascism, the Oxfam, Save the Children, and an organisation that you see in our film working in Calais, Safe Passage, and Citizens UK. And there's others besides, very small ones, that do fantastic work, especially Safe Passage and Citizens UK, help refugees who are in the British courts right now as we speak, trying to get the government to obey the law. While it seems horrendous that one should have to take governments to court to get them to obey the law, nevertheless, it's a sign that, thank God, we've still got some democracy, because there's other things happening which make us fear for democracy, I think. And that's specifically the treatment of refugees.
Let's touch upon the use of Shakespeare in the film. My favourite scene was Ralph Fiennes delivering that dialogue with Miranda and Prospero. And actually, I never thought of Prospero and Miranda in that sense as being displaced in the modern sense of the word. Mm. But watching that scene really did contextualise it for me and say, wait, hang on a second, that is true.
Well, of course, Shakespeare didn't invent it, because there's absolutely no doubt, I think, that Shakespeare must have known a family that survived being deported, forcibly deported by military force and by an opposition that was actually part of the family. So it was an internal conflict that Shakespeare shows, that deported Prospero under armed guard with his three-year-old baby onto a rotten boat that his brother hoped would sink and drown them. Shakespeare must have known the family that survived that quite intimately.
And just a final question. I wanted to touch upon the use of language, because this is where it comes in. With Martin Sherman, the actor playwright, talking about, especially the words we use to talk about refugees, words like displacement, which very mechanical. They take away the humanity of the actual situation and the experience. So I wanted to touch upon that with both you and Carlo.
Yes, well, as he says in the film, Martin says that, we use these words like trauma and these sort of catchphrases to describe something that is so profound that it's almost impossible to really describe. It's so deep. So when he says, actually, it's a state of shock, sometimes people use the word shock and sort of, I was shocked to hear. Well, actually, you weren't shocked, because true shock is something, we can't really quantify, we cannot really define, because it is so profound. And you see it on the faces of these people, these families, these children who've been forced from their homes, whose lives have just been destroyed. There's a rupture that's occurred and will stay with them for the rest of their lives, no matter how much is done to integrate them into a safe haven, wherever that may be. It's going to stay with them forever. And so really, it's only a case of just trying to mitigate that great, great harm, that great shock that's been created. So I thought Martin was very, very insightful in what he said in the film and during that sequence.
Language is something, obviously, as an actress that I work with all the time. And now that I've got to be 80 years old and know that my time's almost up, whatever that time is, it doesn't matter, but I pay even more attention to what people say, whoever they are, because I can hear behind the words. And sometimes I get quite upset because I know what's behind the words, and it'll shock me, because it's like I've got a hidden microscope in my mind which doesn't need to be put on anybody's flesh or anything. I can see and hear what's going on in a human being. That's my training as an actress. That's what I'm about as an actress. So when I hear politicians, well, actually, that's something we're all fed up with. I mean, we've just been through an election where strong and stable were two words, and we all, the more that those words were repeated, the more we all thought, don't you dare use those words again. Our lives aren't strong, they aren't stable, and you're responsible.